God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. It is better to say nothing than to promise something that you don't follow through on. You know, so if you know you can't fulfill your obligation, you know there's something there that you think you might not be able to do it, well, then don't make that commitment to God. You know, so, but if you do make a commitment, if He says, I want you to do this, or I want you to go here, I want you to teach a class on Tuesday night or whatever, then if you make that commitment, Lord, we'll have a Bible study on Tuesday night, well, then be here. You know, if you make the Lord a commitment, say, Lord, I'll be in Bible study every Tuesday night, well, then be here. You know, if you don't make that commitment, don't say that, then just come if you can. But, you know, so in such cases, your mouth is making you sin. Can your mouth make you sin?
Yes, sure.
It sure can. Right there, we see where your mouth can make you sin. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. But Lord, I know I made this commitment to do this now, but now, Lord, I realize I made a mistake. That would make God angry. Do you want to make God angry? I don't. That would make God angry, and He might wipe out everything you have achieved. Somebody said, God would not do something like that. Well, He says He will in His Word, doesn't He? Can God either make your day or ruin your day? He sure can. He has that power within Him. That's just like the time when I heard, I can't think of the man's name right now. I'll think about it. Anyway, this guy, he had went to Israel, and he was down in Lazarus' tomb. And he said there was just one little light bulb down there, and he said all of a sudden that light bulb went out. And he said, I felt somebody beside me. I said, Lord, Lord, is that you? And he said, yes, son. He said, I'm fixing to take you on a trip. He said, where are we going? He said, I'm fixing to take you to hell. He said, Lord, I'm washed in the blood. You can't take me to hell. He said, son, I'm God, and I can do anything I want to do. We're gone. And he took him to hell.
Wow.
Now, what can the king do?
Anything
he wants to do. Don't you ever stand and say, I need a higher court. He said, there ain't no higher court. I'm the king, I'm the boss, and what I say goes.
Amen.
So, we want to strive to please the king, right?
Right?
We don't want to do anything foolish. Because he did take that man to hell for a few minutes. And then after he brought him back, he said, I don't know how long we were there, but he said, I heard the most wicked music, the most awful pain, the most awful cold, the most awful heat. He said, everything was there. And when he came back and he was right there in that tomb, he said, Lord, why did you take me down there? He said, well, when I took you to heaven, you've been doing such a good job of telling everybody what you saw in heaven and how beautiful it was. I want you to tell them how awful hell is. So now you've experienced it. I want you to tell them. And he'll say, you don't want to go to this place. I mean, I used to be on TBN pretty regular. It's been years ago. He's since deceased. I can't think of what the guy's name is. Who was it? Eby, Richard Eby, that's him. Dr. Richard Eby. Boy, he can tell you about, he could before he went home to be with the Lord, he could tell you how beautiful heaven was because God took him up there and showed it to him. And when he had his death experience in Chicago. But later, God took him to hell to show him how bad it was. And he said, this place is awful. Well, I can tell you, it is awful. And you don't want to go there. You know, you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. You definitely do not want to go to that awful place. And then he says here, dreaming all the time instead of working is foolishness. Now see, you have to dream, but you don't want to do it all the time. You want to have a dream, and then you want to make the dreams come true. Once you have dreams, then you got to do something, or those dreams don't come to pass. Some people, all they do is sit around and dream all the time. They're known as dreamers, but they never put any feet to their dreams. You know, and there is ruin in a flood of empty words. fear God instead. You know, here a while back we done a teaching. I went through the word and looked up fear. And there's hundreds of times the word's used in the Bible. But I taught one night on what happens when you don't fear God. And then one night I taught on what happens when you do fear God. And the night that we spoke, when you don't fear God, everything bad happens to you. I mean, it's just over and over and over. People have no fear of God, how He sends devastating things to ruin your whole life. But when you fear Him or reverence Him, especially the one that I like, and I don't remember the scripture, but it says, those that fear and reverence and worship the Lord, there will not even be any want in your house. Now, for a little lady, I know lots of girls that like lots of things. If you reverence the King and you love Him and have fear of Him, He said there will not even be any want in your house. Do you like that, Lori? Yeah, I do too. I love that. You know, I can even speak for my wife. She loves that. She's not here, but I can tell you she'd love that too. But what do we have to do to have no want in our house? Fear the Lord. Worship Him. Praise Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. He loves it. You know, when you're driving down the road, He loves for you to say, Lord, I sure am glad You're my Lord. You sure paid an awful price for me on that cross. I'm so grateful for what You did. I want to tell You how thankful I am. I sure do love You, and I worship You and praise You. Do you think He likes that? I know He likes that. Yeah, because He likes to be told and likes to be worshipped. I think of how many times I've seen in the Scriptures when somebody would be asking the Lord, it's written for something, and He wouldn't even look at him, wouldn't listen to him or nothing. And then all of a sudden, man or woman would fall and begin to worship Him. And right there, He would stop. And He would say, what can I do for you? Up until that, He had not done anything. I can think about the Syrophoenician woman. She come begging Him, Lord, my daughter lies at home vexed with a demon. Will You come heal her? He don't even look at her. He just keeps walking. She keeps begging, pleading. He just keeps walking. Peter finally comes and said, Lord, you want me to tell her to go away? She's bothering you. And then it says she came and knelt by His side and worshipped Him. And He stopped. He said, what can I do for you, woman? She said, my daughter lies at home vexed with a demon. He said, woman, you're just a dog. Now, what does most women say if you call them a dog? No. Somebody said, Jesus wouldn't do that, but He did. Yes. She said, I know I'm just a dog. I'm just a Styrophoenician. But she said, Lord, even the puppy dogs gets the crumbs that falls from the master's table. Mm-hmm. He said, for this woman, for this saying woman, your daughter is delivered. You can go home. Now, what moved His hand? Worship. He hadn't even looked at her. He knew she had a need. But when she humbled herself and worshiped Him, He stopped. And then it didn't make it what He said to her. It appears to be a fairly cutting remark. But she said, I know. She knew who she was. She knew she was a lost dog. So she just acknowledged it. And because of that, He changed her life and healed her daughter. Isn't He awesome? Awesome. Fear the Lord. Now then, the title above this next little portion we're at here is the futility of wealth. Now, how many people today, especially us guys, you know, nearly every young man, not all of them, but a lot of them, they got a driving desire. By the time they're 20 years old, I'm going to be a retired millionaire by the time I'm 35. How many young men you know or you've had a dream like that? And they went out and worked. They went to school. They applied themselves. They worked from can to can't trying to get this money together. And some of them succeed. Some of them really do. Some of them get a lot of money together. But you see lots of them. Now then, he says, if you are a poor person, being oppressed by the powerful and justice being miscarried throughout the land, don't be surprised. That's the way it happens, isn't it? Does the land beat up on the poor people? If you're rich and the other person's poor and you got a problem and that rich person takes you to court, guess who's going to win? The rich person. He's got the lawyers. He's got the money. He's got the power. The poor little guy, he ain't got no money. He can't do nothing. For every official is under order from higher up, and matters of justice only get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Boy, is there a lot of that today. I used to think when I was in the corporate world, and the little bit I had responsibility over and the number of things that got lost and buried and things we lost and messed up on and the money it cost for some of these things, I thought, I wonder the men that are handling the national budget for the military and the billions and the trillions that they're spending. I wonder when they start buying airplanes that cost $50 million or $150 million apiece. You know, I wonder how much money gets thrown away. I mean, just think. The budget for the military, some of those fighter planes cost $50 to $150 million for one airplane. One. And then when I was in Vietnam, you know what I saw done to some of those machines that were, some of those machines we left in Vietnam when we left. Complete, beautiful helicopters and fighters, millions of dollars worth of equipment. We just walked off and left it. They didn't have any way to get it back. You know. So without a whole lot of men and a whole lot of power, so they just walked off and left it. That's just like one time the tools that we had in the Air Force were some of the best hand tools. They bought the best. They didn't go out here and buy this cheap stuff. They bought good stuff. And we had an abundance of stuff. And one day the guy come through and he says, "All we got, here's an inventory. Take it. Everything's got to be perfect. Anything more than this, you got to put it in these big containers."
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.